Sorted.
Is it a she?
Is it what a she?
A complete ignoramus.
It is.
Can never be a he.
Can't. Well, not that we're sexist.
No.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds a bit bad.
Yes. Well, we're not, aren't we? Don't want to upset our female listeners.
Have you started?
Yes, I have.
You started again? Steve! You've sneaky. Got to tell me.
I'm just sneaky like
every
that.
Every week.
See, I pretend that I'm just adjusting levels.
This,
where
at this
I press
rate,
the button.
I'm going to be the complete ignoramus.
Let's play the game. Guess when Abby's. No, no, when I'm recording.
Yes. Thank you very much. So we are now. Yes, we've started.
We're started.
Hello, tonight. Listeners.
Hello. Welcome to Practically Superheroes. I'm Steve Bradley.
And I'm Abby Norman.
And we are officially on iTunes.
Yes, how exciting.
So even more people can listen to our ridiculous conversations, hopefully. So, yes, we launched on iTunes and Facebook likes are going up. Thanks to all of Abby's friends. Thank you very much. Shout out to all you guys.
And, thank you very much.
So, episode number 3 we are on.
Yes.
Episode 3 we are on. I was like Yoda then.
Yeah. Thank
episode
you,
3 we are on.
3 we are on. Yeah. Yeah, very good.
I can't piece together sentences.
No.
So, yes, what's our first section today, Abby?
Well, it's news.
News. So, the first story I've got for you today, Abby.
Yep.
For the news is woman tasered in Black Friday melee.
Is this to do with shopping?
It is to do with shopping. So Black Friday has just passed.
Yeah.
Just when you thought behaviour on Black Friday couldn't get any more shocking, two women were captured on video early Friday morning throwing punches in Philadelphia.
Wow.
In a mall before one of the women used a stun gun on the other.
Over trying to get an item in the sale?
Yes.
Wow. This is similar to my TK Maxx coat story.
It is, yes.
I bought a coat last week in TK Maxx and I tried it on. I was very pleased. And then I bent down to put my own coat back on and a woman ran off with it.
See, this is where you should have got out your stun gun.
Yeah, if only I'd have had a stun gun. Yeah.
Put that down. Yeah.
They take it very seriously, Black Friday, in America, don't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yeah. Definitely.
Our American listeners.
Yes,
be able
all
to
of you guys can relate. Yeah,
yes, totes. Relate to that. Yeah.
So it started out, one couple was fighting with another couple, explained Mike Napolitano. Oh, nice
excellent
name.
Excellent pronunciation, Steve.
Thank you.
Very good.
Who captured the carnage. They had words, the guy got into a fight, and then the girls, one couple, they were like a family in all, with a young child and a stroller. Video starts with the sound of crackle and what appears to be electricity shooting out. The fighting women soon tackle each other to the ground after exchanging blows.
Wow.
Do you want to watch the video, Abby?
Yeah. What were they fighting over? I hope it was something good.
Okay, so... Oh, right. So it was Mr. Sizzle. Mr. You're Sizzle's playing by my feet, which is
he's
which
messing
is fine,
with the wires.
But
something could go wrong here.
This dog toy you got.
He's very interested in the news. Is Mr.
There
Sizzle? He's a news hound. See what I did
there? Oh. So I'm just trying to find out what they were fighting over, but it doesn't say. It's can't. It right. It can't be much. Okay, so we're going to play this video. Ready?
Okay, I'm coming over to watch. Oh my god. Oh my god, it's like a full on fight. There's three of them now. They're rolling around on the floor. Oh my god, there goes the taser again. Ow.
Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable.
Wow. We'll put that up on the Facebook site.
Yes. I don't
wow,
know
shopping is serious business.
It is. Well, it is in America, especially in Black Friday.
Black Friday.
And that's not the only. I read there was another fight in Walmart.
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 Got to get your box of shorts from Kmart.
That really
enjoy
is
that?
Top tip for all our Americans out there.
Don't know where that came
Kmart
from.
Kmart for your underpants.
That was my Rain Man impression. Thank you.
Very good. So there we go. So if you're out on Black Friday next year, take a stun gun with you.
Yeah.
Because you just never know.
Well, be careful that you don't get stunned.
solving the world's problems.
Almost.
Almost.
Dot, dot, dot.
So, next news story I have. Do you remember last week we were talking about X Factor?
Oh, yes.
Yes. I haven't watched it again this week. Yeah. But Simon Cowell hires hypnotist to help X Factor's Tamara Foster.
Oh, my God.
Get in the right frame of mind.
Really?
With quotes. After she forgot lines for the third time.
Yeah, because she didn't forget them this week.
Did she not?
No.
What did she sing this week?
This week she sang... Oh, what did she sing? I can't remember. Just like last week, it was such a...
So memorable.
Brilliant performance. She was quite good this week. And I'm afraid I can't remember what she sang. But she definitely didn't forget her words.
She didn't.
No. And they gave her lots of positive feedback.
What, saying you didn't forget your words?
Yeah.
Well done.
That's what Adam said. I was like, oh, that's nice. And Adam said, well, all they've actually said is, well done.
Well done. You remembered the lines.
Yeah.
You had a week. You
yeah,
did it.
Well done. Oh, she did have to do two songs this week. Pressure's
My
on,
God. So
Pressure's on.
You would think that she would at least forget one of them.
Well, the hypnotist obviously works.
Yes. So Simon Cowell, it says here, Simon Cowell has resorted to hiring a hypnotist in order to make sure Tamara Foster doesn't forget her lyrics again. She confessed, last week was really difficult. I've been seeing a hypnotherapist who has been giving me little exercises to do to get me in the right frame of mind to go on stage and give a good performance. He's been showing me how to go into deep meditation because I meditate already.
Oh really?
It's not been working out for you.
Yeah.
But he's been showing me a different way, which is better. I can do it in any environment. So, as far as Simon is concerned, Tamara is the star and she can have whatever special treatment she needs.
Well, he's obviously plugging her.
Yes.
Yeah.
If she goes on to win now.
Because of the hypnotist.
It's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be. So, who went out last week? Not that I'd know who it was.
Oh, it was the other girl
Not
in
her,
that category,
obviously.
Hannah. Yes, Hannah, who was actually very good. She's got a very deep voice. Yes.
Has she?
Very deep voice, a very soulful voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she went out. I didn't actually see, so I'm not sure who she was up against or anything, but I do remember that it was her. No, it's very serious. Serious news. Steve.
We'll have more on Tamara Foster next week.
We are now obsessed with Tamara Foster.
So our next news story. Humans evolved after a female chimpanzee mated with a pig.
Wow.
Come on. This is Daily Mail, our favourite source.
Well, it's obviously true. It's obviously true, yeah. Leading the world with their scientific... stories.
This is a claim now, obviously not the truth. This is just a claim, we hope. The human species began as a hybrid offspring of a male pig and a female chimpanzee.
Oh, that's very detailed information.
Yeah, so we are spawned from pigs and chimpanzees.
Now, I don't know about you, Steve, but I'm picturing that now. The half pig, half chimp. Chimp pig.
Chimp pig. What about pig chimp?
I don't know. It's not got quite the same ring.
Pig-zen-zee?
I don't know. Pig-n-zee? Pig-n-zee. That's not bad, is it? That's going to look freaky.
Oh, odd.
That's got to be...
And if in case we didn't know what a pig and a chimpanzee look like, the Daily Mail have put pictures up for us.
Thank goodness.
So, Dr. McCarthy... This is a chap in America.
It's not Dr. Nutt again. Then.
No.
Sad.
He's off doing the important stuff.
Yeah.
Dr. McCarthy says these divergent characteristics are most likely a result of hybrid origin at some point far back in human evolutionary history. So apparently he says while humans have many features in common with chimps, we also have a large number of distinguishing characteristics not found in any other primates.
Except pigs,
nice. Apparently. So,
Well, they're very intelligent pigs, apparently.
Let me just go down. However, as Dr. McCarthy points out, despite this genetic similarity, there are a massive number of divergent anatomical characteristics distinguishing the two. This is losing me.
We're lost. The Daily Mail has gone above our heads.
One important criticism, which dubs his theory the monkey... a pig hypothesis.
the Pigginsy.
Yes. Is that there is little chance that pigs and chimps could be interfertile.
Wow. It's really...
The two orders of creatures, according to evolutionary theory, diverged roughly 80 million years ago.
The thing is, I've never seen a pig in a jungle, and I've never seen a chimpanzee up the farm. So I don't know how that happened.
I think that's basically what they're saying. Finally, he suggests rather impudently that Dr. McCarthy do the experimental work himself and try mating one with a pig to see how far he gets.
Good luck.
I actually don't want him to do that.
No, not unless they are, you know, actually attracted to each other and having a loving, committed relationship. Then that's fine. You know, what goes on between two loving grown-ups is absolutely fine. But, we can't force that upon them.
We can't. No. So, I think, have we got any more news? Is that it?
I think that's it for the news.
I think that's it for this week for the news. So, what's our next?
Well, we need to discuss the superpower of this week.
Oh, superpower of the week. Our theme tune. Copyright.
It's a very good
Steve Bradley
tune. Yeah. Well, my superpower this week... is I think I've had a very busy week, so I sort of thought during one of my periods of extreme busyness, what I'd like now is just to be able to freeze time. I'd like to sort of halt what was going on so everyone else is frozen and then I can just wander off, have a cup of tea, maybe a donut, while they're all just frozen in time.
I think...
And then, when I feel rested and ready to come back to it, I'll unfreeze time. I'll probably do this by touching my fingertips together, a bit like on that
TV
program.
About this, haven't you?
Yeah, from the summer holidays that had the theme tune, Would You Like to Swing on a Star? I don't know if any of our listeners remember that. I can't remember what it was called, but she could freeze time by touching her fingertips together. And
what,
I would,
like
yeah,
that?
She'd do that. And
so
then,
separate fingers from each hand?
Yeah.
Very
so you specific.
Can't just do that.
No. It has to be, index fingers of both hands, I think, specifics there. And then, so everyone else would just be frozen and I'd have a nice little rest. You know, you could go off and have a little bath if you felt like it. little cup of tea or maybe a glass of something.
How long can you... You're restricted, though.
Well, you're restricted. I don't think
can't
it's
just stop
fair
time
to do it all day. But, a quick tea break, I think. Half an hour...
touching your fingers gives you half hour.
Yeah, and then you've got to come back and you've got to be in exactly the same spot that you were. It's the challenge. Or people might notice. They'd be like, whoa, they think we were sucked into the vortex.
in Brighton.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the deal is if they find out that you've stopped time, you lose the power.
Yeah, I think so.
That would make a super detective.
Yeah.
Series.
You would literally
of
need Jessica superpower, Fletcher there.
The superpower detective.
To know. Or Miss Marple, maybe Poirot. Yeah.
Chuck him in there.
Know. Yeah. Yeah. They'd discover it. But you've got to be very careful
who
about
you use
going
it around.
Back to position. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you were in the room with Angela Lansbury, you wouldn't.
Don't do it. Anyone out there?
No.
With you have Angela Lansbury in the room. Don't stop time.
No.
She'll find out.
Yeah, she will. She will. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Oh, my. I think my superpower for this week, just a very recent discovery because I didn't have one until about 20 minutes ago. I needed to get the Wi-Fi code off Abby, and she said N, and I thought she said M. Mm. So my superpower of the week would be to know whether someone said N or M.
It's very useful that.
Without, isn't it though?
Mm.
Hello.
Ooh, what's happened there?
That might be my phone.
We're interfering.
Oh, yeah. That's not important.
Listeners, it's not important.
It's not
who
important.
Who is it? Shall I announce who that is in case you're listening and now you're not important enough?
There's no name.
Oh, it's no name.
It's
no name. You're not important enough.
Yes.
So, back to N's and M's.
Yes, because you read out a code and I got it wrong because I thought you said M and you said N.
Yeah, well, my surname has both of those letters.
Norman.
So it could save me a lot of time when over the phone
yes.
saying N for...
What? So Northern. So from your point of view, people know. They just yeah. know. Yes.
Yeah.
When you say Abby Norman, N for Norman.
Yeah, M for Norman. M for man.
Because it's going to be more Nan. It's going to be the other way around. Yeah. Imagine if your name is Abby Mornan and you go, Mornan, not Norman.
I might change it.
M for man.
From now on, I'm going to be, when I'm doing my podcast, I'm going to be Abby Mornan. And I'm Abby Mornan. Yeah. It's nice.
Okay. Oh, okay. We'll have better powers next week. Or maybe I will.
Or maybe you can tweet us your power.
Yes, or Facebook.
PS Heroes. Or
yeah, PS Heroes.
Put it on our Facebook page. What's your superpower of the week?
Yes, they've got to be better than ours.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next on our list?
I think it might be time for the word of the week.
Oh, word of the week. Urban Dictionary, word of the week. Well, words of the week, I think.
Oh,
because
we've gone crazy.
We've got mad. I got too excited.
So excited about the words. Yeah.
What's
I've
your?
I've got a good word.
Tell me what your word is.
You go first because I'm.
Oh,
just
I've got three.
My word.
Okay. All right. I'll do one, and then you do one, and then I'll do the other two. Okay. So, you're familiar with twerking, right?
Oh yes, of course I am.
Regularly do the twerk, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, regularly. Yep. All the time.
Twerking around the house,
mm-hmm.
whilst hoovering, whilst washing up.
Yeah.
The word I've got here is circle twerk.
Is that when you go around in a circle twerking?
Well, you'd think a group of people surround a lone person on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
And when appropriate, because not straight away, because it's you've just got to surround them first. When appropriate, begin. Brooklyn Turkey.
I know what your superpower is, Nancy.
To learn
just
to speak.
The power of speech.
Diction.
Yeah.
When appropriate, begin twerking aggressively on the person in the middle. The tighter the circle during the twerk, the better. It is typically performed during R&B or rap music.
Mm.
Oh, and in context.
Twerk aggressively.
Man,
I love it.
Man, how good was that circle twerk last night? Followed by another one. Pedro looks sad and lonely. Let's go give him a circle twerk.
Aww. Aww. Lucky Pedro. Awesome.
There you go.
Wow.
That's one of mine.
I've got my word, and I'm really excited about this because we can do a demonstration of it. We can give it a go in a minute.
Okay.
You need to get your camera at the ready for this one.
Okay.
Can you do the squinch? Yes.
What's the squinch?
Revealed. The secret facial expression that can make anyone look more photogenic in an instant.
Oh, I like this. This might be a good skill.
It's going to be very useful. Right. It's the act of squinting eyes in such a way as to ooze confidence. So, portraitist Peter Hurley invented the squinch. He says, staring
How
into
do you invent a squinch? How do you invent a facial expression?
He's invented it. He says, staring into the camera conveys fear. And his last tutorial, It's All About the Jaw, went viral.
So it's all about the jaw.
The squinch, we're about to go viral. Right, okay. And it's
and not
have
in
you
a good
heard
way.
Of smizing, Steve?
Is that when you smile with your
smile
eyes?
Smile with your eyes.
I've heard that.
Yeah, that's Tyra Banks' smize. Now, we did a little test of this, me and
I thought
my
you said
friend,
we did a little
Tim.
Workshop on that.
We did smizing and we did loads of photos of us not smizing, smizing, to see whether you could tell the difference.
Can you?
So now I think we're going to have to do the similar thing but for squinching. Okay, and here's the instructions. Okay. Firstly, Hurley emphasises that squinching isn't the same as squinting, Steve.
Oh,
and
that's...
while the difference may be minor, it is vital. When you squint, your top and bottom eyelids close, which Hurley believes makes you look far from confident.
It looks like you're blind. Can't see.
But when you squinch, however, you're lifting and tightening the lower eyelid And only allowing the top eyelid to come down slightly.
By doing it.
You just look a bit mental.
Yeah.
Speaking in his video, he says, if you're a photographer out there, make your people squinch. And if you're a human being who just wants to look hot, this is going to do it for you.
Oh, yeah.
And we're accompanied here by some photographic evidence of the squinching.
They look like they need glasses.
No, I think this lady here, she does look
hotter. She's tilting her head down.
Oh, Steve.
That guy looks like he's in trouble.
This guy here looks like he's
winking.
He's crossing his eyes. And then he's just not crossing his eyes. But look at the bottom one. Look at him. He's definitely hotter in the right photo. So what have we got to do? Right, have you got your camera ready?
I've got my camera ready.
So we've got to only tighten the lower eyelid and allow the top one to only come down
slightly.
So the
bottom eyelid. Are we doing it?
Yeah, okay. Here we go.
Are we looking at the camera when we do this?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, hold on.
I don't know if that was any good.
So we've got to hold on. What we're going to do? The bottom eyelid.
Yeah, the bottom eyelid and raise the top one slightly.
Okay.
And then we've got to do a normal one, so that we can see the difference.
Okay. Right.
So we've got to do the same pose, just normal.
Okay,
there we go.
Right, there we go. Hold on.
Perfect.
Should we see those back? So that's normal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're definitely hotter.
Oh, totes. Oh, yeah, that works. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that. That's
a
skill.
We'll put the article up because the photos are quite good, actually. Some of them are quite impressive.
Well,
more
ours
impressive
especially.
Than ours. Yeah, ours. Well, we're going viral with that.
We are. Squinching is
squinching is
new
the
craze.
New smizing.
Don't say we don't give you anything, listeners.
Yeah.
You've learned a valuable skill today.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So the third one I've got, Inboxia. Inboxia.
Inboxia.
Mm.
I can't even think what that is.
A common cause of stress. I suffer from inboxia. Mm. A common cause of stress, often leading to paralysis. Not so much. And even death. Nah.
Steve.
Resulting from an overloaded email inbox.
Ah.
In context, Kevin sat down at his computer and froze in a state of inboxia as the 200 emails filtered in.
Yeah.
Who else has suffered from inboxia?
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite bad.
I don't think it causes paralysis with myself.
I haven't had paralysis. I've just had a slight sinking feeling.
Yeah, slight unhappiness.
Yeah, most of it is from my great friend's Groupon.
Oh, right, yeah.
And also my other really good friend, KGB Deals.
Oh, yes, yes.
And also Amazon.
Sainsbury's.
My friend Amazon. She is a really nice. She sends me emails.
All
you know,
the
three
time.
Or four a day sometimes, yeah.
Love
but
them.
Sometimes it's a bit much.
Just a tad.
I'm like, back off, Amazon. Back off. You're crowding me.
The last one I've got is not as gross as it sounds.
Uh-oh.
Story vomit. Okay, story vomit.
Right.
Long-winded, boring, nauseating, uninteresting description of an event or the story of someone's life.
What do they call it? Story vomit.
Story vomit.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people's
story vomit.
Yeah, so, us probably.
Yeah, right now. in context. She went on and on about her breakup with Joe. It was difficult to endure the story vomit. No one likes to endure story vomit, do they?
No.
Oh, so there
we
go.
Well, some people like to go into more detail than others, and
oh,
that's
God,
the thing.
I know.
I've got a friend who's got a photographic memory, practically, and so if you ask them, you know, what happened on EastEnders last night, you get, like, every single, you know, like, more detail than you would have noticed if you'd actually
you
watched the
episode.
You get
full-on story vomit. All over.
It's
all
really
over.
Impressive. It's absolutely impressive, but you are a bit like, wow. I never need to watch ever again.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to hear it though, do you?
You've got to start self-editing. That's a skill we need to learn.
Yes. Well, edit people out. That's
that was your superpower last
wasn't
week.
It? Wasn't it? To shush people, mine was.
Yeah.
To mute them.
Yeah.
Okay. What's our next segment?
Have we got any paranormal poppycock?
Oh, have we got paranormal poppycock?
Thank you.
I've got one here, and it's, well, actually I've got two, but this is the first one. UFO picture from North Devon sparks a flurry of reports. Okay.
UFO.
We're on to UFOs this week.
We're having a lot of UFOage, aren't we?
UFOage. Is that
That'll be an Urban Dictionary
next week. Last weekend, photographer Roy Tibbles. Ah, good old Roy.
That's a great name.
Of the North Devon Journal snapped some images at a wind farm in the southwest region of the UK. When he later examined his pictures, he saw that he had captured a mysterious object in the sky above the turbines. Right, got a picture for you.
Let's see. Oh, it is quite mysterious. A cloud.
It could be a cloud. The grey-coloured oval-shaped cloud, I mean UFO, isolated in above close-up image, becomes even more interesting when viewed from the original person's perspective in which it was taken.
Well, essentially, it is a UFO. You know, we can't definitely say it's a cloud, so it is unidentified.
Yeah,
and it could be flying. It's definitely in the air.
Yes,
and it is an object.
There you go. So, Jacqueline Leighton Boyce of Dulverton reported to the journal that I too saw a strange, very large bright thing in the sky on Saturday about dusk time. Boyce managed to film the light, and then a friend took a video and slowed it down. Right.
Okay, so we've got now...
You're about to watch this video.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
We'll put this on the Facebook page as well. Oh. Okay, what is that?
That could be anything like that.
That's a speck on the lens.
And then they zoom in and then they slow it down. They zoom in. This is the same video, zoomed in, slowed down. Aww. Now, to me, the camera's just shaking. That's not moving.
No.
Like,
yeah,
it looks like it's moving. It's not. And then they slow it down even more. So the shakes look like the object's moving even more.
Yeah.
If you scroll back and watch the beginning, it's just that. Yeah. It's just someone's shaky hand.
Yeah.
That could be a planet. It could be like a, you know, like Venus.
You heard it here first, Steve, Bradley. That could be a planet.
To me, that is rubbish.
Is it a new planet? Is that a planet that we can name? Can we claim nameage on that?
It just could be anything that is just bright in the sky. Yeah. You know, sometimes planets are just bright in the sky.
Any old tat, that?
Rubbish.
I'd say that is paranormal poppycock.
It's absolutely poppycock.
Yeah.
I've got another one.
Oh, good.
Shall I say it? It's quite interesting.
Go on, I dare you.
The reincarnated children. New book tells the extraordinary story of the children who believed they are a World War II pilot, star golfer, and a Hollywood agent from a past life.
A Hollywood agent? Wow. Is it like Joey's agent?
Estelle! Joey! I got an audition for you!
I'd like to see a small child speaking in that voice. That would be fun.
That would be fun. Not smoking the 70 cigarettes.
Yeah, no. We don't condone that.
No. So, okay, here we go. How could anyone possibly take seriously a three-year-old golfing prodigy's claim to be a legendary 13-time major winner Bobby Jones, or another boy from Louisiana who recalls being a Second World War pilot shot down over the Pacific? A world-renowned professor, Dr. Jim Tucker's remarkable experiences with these children, many who can recall intimate details of their past lives in pin-sharp detail and with no prompting, has led him to the conclusion that reincarnation is real.
Oh, Mr. Sizzle, he's feeling the paranormal vibes. You know how they say animals can sense things?
Either that or he just wants me to play with him.
Yeah. Sizzle, are you sensing? Yes.
Thanks, that, Mr. Sizzle. The world just doesn't work as we think or assume it does. The cases I have examined don't come under a normal explanation of how we perceive the world, said Dr. Tucker. So, let's take the first guy. One particular case which stood apart for Dr. Tucker was that of Hunter, a three-year-old golfing prodigy.
His name is Hunter. Is it Hunter from the Gladiators? Who had a fling with Eureka Johnson.
Did he?
Hunter? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. You heard it here first.
Oh, breaking news. From 20 years ago.
Yeah, I am so up to date.
Good on him.
Yeah.
When I think of Hunter, I think of... Have you seen Paranormal Activity?
No.
Oh, Paranormal Activity 2, I think. The child is called Hunter and it's a scary film. So it freaks me out just hearing the name. three-year-old golfing prodigy who said he was the reincarnation of a 13-time major winner, Bobby Jones.
Wow.
Okay.
So he picked an actual historical person as well.
Yep. Mm. Hunter was watching the Golf Channel one day with his father when he saw a clip of Jones, the dominant force in the sport in the 1930s, who helped establish the Augusta National Course, home of the Masters. Hunter told his parents that he had been Bobby Jones when he was big and demanded to be known from that moment as Bobby.
Demanded.
His Christian parents initially laughed off his behaviour. Right, okay, as you do. So, however, his father decided to test his son one day and showed him six pictures of golfers from the 1930s and asked which one was Jones. Correctly picking out the golfer's image, Hunter replied, "This me." So not even this is me, well, this
how
me.
How old was this child?
Three.
Three? This is quite spooky, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Taking this further, Hunter's dad printed off pictures of several different homes, including Jones's childhood house, and showed
and
them to his son.
He was able to pick it out.
He called five of the... He called five of them simply house, but called the property where Jones grew up home. Dun, dun, dun. So,
House. Home.
Yeah, home. When Dr. Tucker visited the boy, he found him uncooperative, not unusual for a three-year-old faced with an inquisitive stranger. However, his development continued to include designing golf courses with pillows and sheet in his room. That's what surely what a kid does.
Yeah. Was his dad like a massive golf fan?
Yeah.
Because, like, yes, I'm sensing definitely, you know, you wouldn't just come out with that, would you?
Although Hunter is now seven and has won 41 out of 50 junior tournaments he has entered, including 21 in a row, and is seen as potentially the next Tiger Woods.
Wow.
So whether he is or not, he's a good golfer.
Yeah, he's good at golf.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's take one more because there's more on here. There's quite a lot. So we'll only do one more. Ryan, the Baptist minister's son, who was a big shot Hollywood agent. Now, it gets better. Marty Martin.
Is that his name?
Fantastic.
Or is that the agent's name?
No, that is...
Marty Martin.
Oh, no, that's the super agent, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Because you can't name your kid.
No.
Marty
but
Martin.
But that is a great name for a theatrical agent.
Isn't it?
Marty Martin.
Was one of the first super agents of Hollywood's golden age in the 1930s, with actors such as Glenn Ford on his books and icons like Rita Hayworth as friends.
Oh.
He lived a life of luxury, married four times, vacationed in Paris, and had influential contacts such as New York Senator Irvin Ives, before dying from cancer in LA in 1964. Now, 50 years later, the five-year-old son of two Oklahoma Christians, the two Oklahoma Christians, began to exhibit strange behavior, calling action for imaginary movies and walking at night screaming, claiming that he was in Hollywood when his heart exploded. That's a bit eerie.
Yeah. How old is the kid?
He is
Marty Martin.
I've thrown you there. Five.
Oh, he's only five?
Yeah.
I was in Hollywood when my heart exploded.
That's weird. Calling action for imaginary movies. I think I did that.
Yeah,
when I
would say a lot of children probably do that.
So little Ryan one night told his mother, Cindy, that when you die, it is important you go towards the light and that everyone comes back. He also said that he picked her to be his mum.
Ooh.
The mystery of Ryan, whose mother was a county deputy clerk and the father of a small town cop, deepened when he picked out a picture from a book his mother had brought home from the library for him. It was from the 1932 movie Night After Night and showed a group of men, including actor George Raft. Ryan excitedly pointed at the man next to George, who specialised in playing gangsters and starred in Billy Wilder's legendary hit Some Like It Hot. I've met someone from Some Like It Hot. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, I met a dancer that was dancing in that.
Oh, wow.
New Marilyn Monroe. Ryan said, "Hey, Mama, that's George. We did a picture together. And Mama, that guy's me. I found me." From that point on, memories seemed to flood back to Ryan.
That's so weird.
He recalled how he was once punched by Marilyn Monroe's bodyguards for trying to talk to her. So that could be a lie.
Yeah.
He said that he liked being Ryan, but wanted to go back to his big house on the hill with a swimming pool.
How bizarre.
That's eerie, right?
Yeah. And he's only five. So, I mean, if they're a little bit older than that, you think they've watched a movie they're not supposed to be watching, and they've just like, you know, that sank in, and they've gone, yeah, I'm going to talk about who I used to be just because I'm like copying someone talking about it.
Yeah.
But three and five.
Yeah.
That's pretty spooky, isn't it?
It's quite, yeah.
So we're just saying this is just paranormal and we're not sure if it's poppycock.
It's a paranormal conspiracy theory.
Ooh. Two in one.
Mashup.
Two for one. It's a mashup.
I'm mixing, breaking it down.
Thanks, DJ Steve.
Oh, yeah. Right. What have we got next?
Well, have you got an advent calendar, Steve?
I haven't got an advent calendar. Oh my God, it's the 1st of December today when we're recording this.
Today, yeah. I've just looked across and...
Have you got an advent calendar?
We've got four.
That's just greedy.
I know.
Why have you got four?
Well, we've got one each chocolate advent calendars.
Right.
One for me and one for Adam.
Yeah.
Because we've, you know, we just fight if it's like who wanted to.
Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that.
And Mr. Sizzle's got one.
Has he?
Yes, he has. He's got little markies in his, which are little biscuits. Biscuits. There it is, look.
I think Mr. Sizzle's head poked up when you said biscuits.
There. Little right. Doggy advent calendar. He gets very excited about it.
Yeah.
He's very, very overexcited this morning.
So where's the fourth one?
This is the fourth one. I have got a tea advent calendar.
What a great idea.
It is genius.
Tea advent calendars, way forward.
Yes, and you get a different tea every day, and it tells you about the tea on the back and how long to brew your tea. You can tell I'm obviously obsessed with tea. Isn't that lovely?
Awesome.
Different.
Where can people get their tea advent calendars from?
You can get those from www.imperialteas.co.uk. They're going to be happy. There we go. I'll tweet
your tea lovers.
Tweet about them as well. It's amazing.
I haven't
brilliant
got one.
Shop.
I haven't got an advent calendar at all.
You need to get one.
Maybe I'll get one like halfway through December when they're all like, it's 50p and then I get three.
All of the first chocolate, which is quite good.
Yes.
I have done that before, actually.
Have you?
When they've gone on offer, I just think, right.
Have you ever just gone screw it and just eaten the whole lot?
No.
You never do that?
I absolutely
just
couldn't
go,
do that.
I can't do this. I'm just going to have them all.
No, okay, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be able to open it before. No, that would be wrong. No.
No. Okay. So what's our next segment? Our complete ignoramus of the week.
Oh, bear with.
Bear with.
Bear with. Here we go.
You might too. But she's a complete ignoramus. Who is a complete ignoramus this
know.
Week?
Well, we already established it's a she
it
at the
is
beginning
a she.
Before you told me that we'd started.
Spoilers.
Yeah, you've spoiled it now. We all know that it's a she.
This week's complete ignoramus of the week is Sharon Osbourne.
Oh, another X Factor.
We're all about the X Factor.
Oh, what's Sharon done?
I don't know if I don't want to read the title of the article. I'm just going to read the body because it gives it away.
Okay.
Sharon Osbourne is nothing if not an open book, so it should come as no surprise that she agreed to talk about her private lady parts on British television.
Oh, good God.
Osbourne was a guest on BBC's The Graham Norton Show yesterday. That was November 29th.
I'm glad you said that and not this morning. I was worried that she'd like revealed her lady parts.
Oh, right.
On, like
on Daybreak.
GMTV, yeah, or this morning. Yeah.
In an episode that is set to air on December 7th. Oh, it's coming up for everyone.
So we can still watch this. Okay.
And when Norton complimented her about her looks, she revealed that she had undergone numerous procedures to maintain her youthful appearance. Osbourne then admitted to getting her vagina tightened.
Oh, God. Is there a word for that?
Vaginoplasty! It's got to be on Urban Dictionary somewhere,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Saying it was the worst and just excruciating.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Come on.
You see, what? now we're going to have a parental guidance warning on our podcast.
Yeah, not for yes, the squeamish as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
so
Steve.
Without doubt, she qualifies...
Yeah.
As our complete ignoramus for the week. Oh. But she's a complete ignoramus. Yes, you are.
Oh, dear.
Sharon Osbourne.
Yes.
Okay, so that's it then, I think, for another week.
Yes.
You,
Hang on.
What?
There's been a sighting from one of our listeners, Janan, mentioned on our Facebook page. She's had a sighting of the crazy magical lady on the tube. Yeah.
Our magical lady,
She was
Maureen.
Spotted on the Circle Line, I believe.
Calling
she said.
To her Maureen.
Yeah,
now.
Maureen.
<What's her>
Maureen. Maureen the magical lady.
Maureen the magical
yeah, she
tube
said she
lady.
She was spotted. And,
where was she
let
spotted?
Let me just try and find it. Steve, just talk. Story vomit for a minute while I find
this. I was born in Broadstairs, which is a seaside town in Kent. Population about 40,000. It's a nice quiet village. Slash town.
Okay, you can stop. The lady with the special power for always getting a seat on the tube was spotted on the Circle Line on Friday night. She managed to move into a fully seated position from a good 2 metre distance as my fiancé, this is Janan saying, was bending his knees to sit. Hashtag superpowers.
Oh my God. Hashtag
there you go.
Omega.
Yeah, Omega.
Hashtag Hashtag Maureen.
Excellent.
The superpower tube
Thanks
lady.
Thanks very much. Any more sightings, please keep us informed.
Oh, that Maureen.
And yeah, keep us informed of your superpowers of the week or if you've got a complete ignoramus that you want to suggest.
Nominate. Yes, we'll take nominations
Brilliant.
Now. Off our
Yes,
Facebook page or Twitter. So, next week, what are we going to do? We're all off on our busy lives, aren't we now?
Yeah.
So
we
might have to do a Skype, but
a
we'll
Skype
be around.
Cast.
Skype cast.
That'll be in the Urban Dictionary.
Okay, well, thanks everyone for listening. Oh, as we're on iTunes, why don't you go over and rate us out of 5 stars? Like,
but only if you think we're good.
Yeah, write us a positive review. Yeah.
If you think we're rubbish, don't say anything at all.
Exactly. Mm. Please don't. We're saving the world here.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough at the top.
Okay, that's it for this week. I'm Steve Bradley.
And I'm Abby Norman.
And remember, we're not superheroes.
We're practically superheroes.
Bye! So, yes, we're going to chuck in a new segment, are we?
We can give it a whirl.
Shall we?
See how it goes.
Okay, let's do this.
A so new soap opera.
An experimental segment this week.
See how we go.
We're going to do a dramatised reading from Mouston Abbey. A book by, who is it by, Abby?
Joanna Bicknell and Nick Page.
Is Nick Page the guy that does the Wallace and Gromit?
No, I don't
think
so.
It's Nick something.
Nick Park, that is.
Oh, that's, oh, yeah. Yes.
It's,
oh, well
it's
done.
Also called The Missing Diamond. So I think you can, it's going to be a cliffhanger, you know. So we thought we might serialise it for you. So here's the first instalment.
Here we go. Shall I dictate?
Yeah, go on, Steve. You take it away.
Lord Mouston is such a forgetful mouse. He's always losing things.
Oh dear.
In the last month, he has lost 2 pairs of spectacles, his pocket watch, and his second best pair of trousers.
Now that is detail, isn't it? Not his
Not
best
the first,
pair.
No, second best.
Second best. Oh dear.
No one knows how he managed to lose these things, especially the trousers. Since he was wearing them at the time.
I say!
Lady Bree bought him a diary for his birthday so he could write down important dates. But he lost it.
Oh, you Lord Mouston, you're a one.
Lord Mouston was just sitting down to breakfast one morning when Lady Bree came in.
Good morning, my dear,
she said.
And a happy Cheesemas to you.
I am such a forgetful mouse, said Lord Mouston. I'd forgotten all about Cheesemus. And then he said, goodness me, the family is coming. I must get everything ready. And he rushed out.
Oh dear, said Lady Bree to the maid. Raclette.
I presume that's another variety of cheese.
He's forgotten to eat his breakfast.
Dun, 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 dun.
What happens next?
What will happen? Will he return to eat his breakfast? Will he find his second best pair of trousers?
The tale of Mouston Abbey continues next week.